Thank you, Sister Clark. My, won't that be the day? Amen. All right, I want you to go to one of the most interesting, exciting stories in the Bible. And some of you don't think the Bible's exciting, but it is. Judges chapter 14. I wish I had time to read all the story. I'm going to read some of it. Hope you'll go along with me in Judges chapter 14. Now, if you get to Joshua, go to your right. You get to Genesis, go to your right. All right, I got a bad spirit messing with me today about playing around when I shouldn't be. Pray for me. Amen. Don't say that too loud. Want to talk to you on the subject this morning, lion killing. Lion, L-I-O-N, lion killing. Been in the news a lot. How many of you been shedding tears over Cecil the Lion? Have you? I wouldn't admit it. No, I wouldn't admit it. Something wrong with a country that can weep over a lion getting killed, but at the same time in the news, all the baby parts. The baby parts was just political stat, but killing one old African lion that may have killed a lot of humans in his earlier years, if he didn't, his kin folks did. We can really get broke up over that. Just really terrible. Maybe they shouldn't have killed him, maybe they should. If you'd have been living in the straw huts next to that game reserve, you'd have probably applauded. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I love animals. I especially love those I catch on my plate around a baked potato. Maybe some rolls and butter and a little ketchup handy. I love those. So I do love some more than the others, I guess. Anyway, Judges 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Sounds like an American teenager ordering his parents around. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Didn't say an old one. Didn't have a collar on his neck. Not a welfare lion. Young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. For you that don't know, a little goat. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them, and they did eat, but watch this. He told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. If you were to read your Bible in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy chapter 14, especially Leviticus 11, you'd find out the lion was an unclean beast that was not permitted to be eaten. That went on its paws. So I want to tell you folks that eat cats, you're violating the scripture. If it has paws, amen. You're violating it right along with us that eat the pigs. Amen. Anyway, he didn't tell them. See, the parents had already been instructed about how to feed Samson, how to take care of him. He couldn't cut his hair. He had the vow of a Nazarite on him. All those things because he was special. And so it would have been contamination. It was against the law of God for him to even touch a dead carcass, much less a unclean, like the lion was, dead carcass. But there was the honey in it, and we already see that Samson's doing his own thing. So he gives to his parents, but he don't tell them where he got it. So verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. This is a marriage festival, Jews, 7 days. You'll pick up 7 days here in a minute. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes or change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. We just call those sheets shirts or garments. It was outfit. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife. Now you got to remember something. 7 day feast. The marriage hadn't been consummated yet. But they're already calling her his wife. The ceremony was in the midst here of the 7 days. So they speak to his wife, which was one of their people. Remember that. Not one of Samson's. Not a Jew. But a Philistine. Says, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, unless we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I've not told it my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it thee? I'm going to inject a thought here, but she kept nagging. Verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. She might have had an Iranian background there. I'm not sure. Can't trust her. Verse 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. He's getting his eyes open here. But a little bit late. A little bit late. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But watch the next line, verse 20. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Now let me put it this way, best friend. Let me put it this way. When you go to a wedding, the best man that was going to stand with him. That's who it was here. Now, you know, I joke around a little bit about it, but this story's got a lot of real truth in it. And I wish you'd take time to read all the story of Samson. And while it's interesting, it is really got some teachable stuff in it that we all need to know. To begin with, somewhat prophetic. What you have here is you have these women betraying Samson. You have Samson here as a type of Israel in the last days being betrayed even by the Antichrist. Here we talk about his best friend. It's his best friend that finally gets the wife, not him. And there's a big betrayal here that takes place that is a picture. By the way, we're seeing that picture flesh out and develop today as we see America and other nations turning their back on Israel and getting in trouble with God. This last thing, this Iranian deal, for instance, of course, the prime minister of Israel argued against it, fussed against it. Netanyahu has fussed much against it, and rightfully so. So you know what we've done as Americans now in retaliation to him being against the deal? We're trying to give Iran nuclear bombs. We exposed to Iran the secrets about Israel's nuclear arsenal to get even. Aren't we nice? Isn't that amazing? Anyway, here's a kind of a prophetic picture of the end time. But I want you to see more. It pictures Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's very real, young folks. Listen to me. Very real. And here we have that Samson here is on a mission. You were to turn back to chapter 13 and pick it up in verse 5, you'd see that mission. Here we have the birth of Samson being announced by an angel, very much like the birth of Jesus Christ was announced by an angel. Samson's supposed to be a savior, if you please, to Israel and defeat the enemy, the Philistines. But we find out he doesn't carry that mission out, but he's on a mission. And it says in verse 5 here, where the man of God, the angel that's shown up to the parents, and he's talking to them, and he says to the wife, you're going to bear a son. And he says at the bottom of verse 5 of chapter 13, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That was his mission. He had a job to do. He was supposed to do it. And it's a picture here. As we look around and see really a picture of Jesus. Now, think with me on the story of Jesus. He came unto his own received him not. We know that he was betrayed. But we also think a little bit further. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he was caught out in the wilderness. He was out there and Satan showed up. The devil showed up to tempt him. You remember that? He told him to go. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple. He said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. If you'll just bow down and worship me, you can have this. He tried at the very beginning of the mission of Jesus Christ, tried to destroy him as a baby, then tried to destroy him there with the temptation that we call about in the wilderness, trying to get Jesus, who was the second Adam, to fall just like the first Adam did. We can see that. And here's my analogy. Satan, as a roaring lion, pounced on Jesus as soon as he came. And here goes Samson starting out on his mission, and a young lion pounces upon him to stop him right in the very beginning. Do you see the comparison there? And early attack. But then when the early attack failed, you find here in all of Samson's story, the subtle attack then of the devil. He doesn't quit. Listen to me, young person, if he can't get you right at first, he don't give up. He continues to set traps for you. And some of you folks that haven't been saved very long, but if you got saved and maybe immediately you had the attack of your loved ones or your friends or the men on the job, immediately they begin to jump on you. And maybe you got through that hurdle, and I hope you did, because it's a big one with a lot of folks. He's not through. Now he moves into his subtlety. He moves into cleverness. He moves into setting traps to continue to go after you. And here we have the early attack, and then we see the subtle part of it. Now, he follows Samson with that. Now, Samson's a young man. He has the natural urge of wanting a wife. And hey, that's good. It's a whole lot better than the junk we're having come out of the Supreme Court and other places today. It's a natural, healthy thing of God if it's done right. And if the devil don't get into it and mess it up, it starts early. My wife will remember this, maybe. We had a visiting preacher graduated my college years ago, and we went out to lunch with them. And they had a little boy, I don't know, first grade, second grade, no more than third, first or second grade. Nice, well-mannered little boy. And we had taken our granddaughter with us. One of our, I think it was the oldest granddaughter, I think it was Shay. And she was right at his age, just a pretty little girl. And they sat side of each other at the table. And that little boy, he don't know what he ate. He was so smitten that all of us adults would just sit there and giggle about it. He was just so obviously smitten as he looked at that pretty little, I don't know if she was, I don't think much she was, but he was. It was so obvious, we just all giggled about it. I mean, you could recognize it, and every bit of his features was just, it was amazing. Only time I'd seen anything like it was when my wife first met me and looked at me. I smell unbelief out there. Truth of the matter is, that's a natural thing. Starts young, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Samson here, he wanted a wife. And there was nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. He went looking in the wrong place. His parents tried to correct him. They said, how about getting one of our people, getting one that believes in the Lord God Jehovah? But no, he's going to the enemy, going to the Philistine. Let me also say this, young man. He went to the used parts place, the used equipment place. I won't tell you what you get at the used equipment place. You get used equipment. You find out that both these women here that's involved in Samson's life betrayed him. The equipment broke down. You get it from the wrong place. You go to the devil's junkyard, and you're going to get exactly what you went after. And it's going to turn out and perform exactly like what it is. Better watch out. The devil here in his subtlety moved Samson to look in the wrong place. Teens, you better wait on God and find your wife or your husband in the right place, in God's place. I remember years ago, popular program, I guess it was called Happy Days. It was the Fonz, you know, fixed his hair, and he was Mr. Cool. He pictured what the world wants you to think, young people, a dropout is, but that's not true. Instead of staying in school and getting a diploma, he was pumping gas at a station, but he had on a leather jacket, and he was cool. He knew everything. He could slap the jukebox, and he'd play music without putting a quarter in. You remember. Don't sit there and look dumb. Every one of you watch the funds. But it was a lie. It's a lie. You drop out. By the way, the Fonz never practiced what he portrayed on TV. He was smarter than that. He was just an actor acting it out. By the way, he don't look so cute now, does he? How many of you have seen him trying to sell reverse mortgages on TV? yeah, even the cute ones grow older, young ladies. And cute wears off. Smart stays on for a lifetime, but cute wears off. And you can get in a real mess when, oh, he is so cute. Run the counter forward a ways. I'd rather have smart 10 times over cute. Amen and amen. The devil sent him to the wrong place. Satan got him to go to the wrong place. And then Satan gave him a wrong plan. Look at it in verse 3 of chapter 14. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised? That means there were none Jews. They were pagans. They believed in false gods. Uncircumcised Philistines. But look what Samson said to his father. Get her for me, for she pleases me. Not pleasing the Lord, not pleasing mom and dad, pleasing me. Pleasing me. I want it. Please me. Overruled his parents. He didn't only overrule his parents, in so doing, he was overruling the Word of God. He was violating the Word of God. By the way, parents, you ought to be such parents that when you have rules, they're God's rules. They're biblical. They're right. And kids, when you overrule mom and dad, if mom and dad's right with God, your problem's with God. Your problems with the one that made the rules, the one that says this is right and this is wrong. That's the truth you need to get a hold of. Parents, give your kids the Word of God because you live the Word of God. Because you're right when you do it. And the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what Samson was doing. Went to the devil's junkyard. He was fixing to pick up that was wrong, that was on an unequal yoke, that did not believe what he did not serve his God, did not live the lifestyle that he was supposed to be living, and especially as God has put his hand on him to be a savior and a deliverer to his very nation. And that's what he was supposed to be. He was doing wrong. I want to say this. I think his dad tried, and Samson was the rebel here. But I want to say to you dads, and I know it's not Father's Day, God's going to hold you responsible for leading the family. Amen. For showing them what is right and walking right in front of them, not just saying but doing. That's very, very important. And I think you have responsibility for your kids. Keep them under your table, then keep them under your rules. Amen. That's important. I think about a preacher I know of. He said the doorbell rang. He said he went to the door. He said there stood a shaggy looking, printed up, tattooed up, pants below his rear, standing at the door. And the preacher opened the door and said, "What do you want?" He said, "I come to see your daughter." Preacher said, "I said, you didn't come to see my daughter." No, you didn't come to see my daughter. You say that's profiling. Yes, it is. You say that's discrimination. Yes, it is. And daddies, you better be doing some profiling, and you better be doing some discriminating, and you better be making some choices. Amen. He said, "I shut the door and left him standing there and flipped the lock and went back in the house." Said, "Pretty soon my daughter said, 'Did I hear the doorbell?' He said, 'Yeah, I think you did.' She said, 'Was it somebody to see me?' He said, 'There wasn't nobody at that door to see my daughter.'" I want to tell you, that's the way it ought to be. That's what God's going to make you answer for. Amen. Satan here gives him the wrong plan. "It pleaseth me, it's myself." So he's going out to unequally yoke up with the unbeliever. And oh, listen, folks. You can get mad at me all you want to. In the old days, some of the stuff I'm preaching right now was just common practice. How many of you men remember when you went to date your wife, you went with fear and trembling? I did. And it was her uncle I had to see. The truth of the matter is, I'll use some terminology you're not going to like. In the old days, did you ever hear anybody say, "Well, now that's a fine young man. He come from good breeding." Now I know the white coats will come in to get me in a minute. Good breeding. So that's discrimination. Some farmers more careful about how they mix their cows than some daddies are, how they let their daughters and sons go to the devil. Help yourself. I've been born a long time ago. I know what I'm talking about. You say, "Well, what happened back then?" Better now. Better now when it comes to morals and right. Amen. I'm saying to you here that the devil got in this thing. Just like Samson was called of God to do something of God, but the devil got him to look for the wrong place for a wife. He gave him the wrong plan to follow. And think about it. It turned out bad. Really bad. If you follow the story, it turned out with Samson going to a second woman outside of his own people. He was betrayed by the first, and then he paid the highest price for a haircut that's ever been paid. Finally, he wound up with his eyes out, being mocked by the very enemy he was supposed to deliver his people from. Grinding at the mill in blindness because he lost his power with God. You remember the story? You say, yeah, but God answered his final prayer and he was able to pull down the pillars of the temple and he killed more in his death than he did in his life, but he didn't deliver Israel from the Philistines. His mission was messed up. He let down his nation. Not only did he let down his nation, how many kids, families did he let down? You think about it. Before I was saved, I knew nothing of the Bible. I had heard rumors of a story in the Bible about a man named Samson. And I remember the night that I decided I'd stay home and read the whole Bible through. Yeah, I was lost. Didn't go to Sunday school, didn't know nothing. But I knew that when I graduated high school, the First Baptist Church in town had given me a little $2 Collins Bible. And I thought, I've heard about Samson being in that book. I'm going to read about him. Trouble was, I started at the front of the Bible and I never reached Samson. I reached the Begats first. And that kind of shut me down. But the truth of the matter is, if Samson would have waited and got who God wanted for him, if Samson would have followed God's word, if Samson would have listened to his parents' advice, Israel would have been in a lot better shape. And a lot of families, a lot of moms and dads, and more important, a lot of kids would have been putting Samson's pinup in their bedroom instead of some pagan. Hear me, kids. Who is it you worship? Who is it you look up to? The guy that can score the most baskets or the most touchdowns? Well, I got news for you. In heaven, he's not going to count for much. I'll tell you, the one that's going to count for something in heaven is the one that did something for Jesus Christ. The one that lived a clean life. One that believed God's word. One that reached others with God's word. That's the pinups in heaven. Not the ones on the walls down here now. Been a wonderful thing if Samson could have waited on God. He knew what was right. He knew what he was supposed to be eating. He knew where he was supposed to be going. He knew who he was supposed to be friends with. He knew who the enemy was. He killed a bunch of them. Actually killed 1,000 men. You read the story, killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass one day. They couldn't stop Samson. They'd tie him up. He just picked the whole gates up and walk away. He was the Superman you watch on your computer. But he was real. He was real. If he'd have just waited on God's will, my, but he didn't wait. He didn't wait. Oh, I'm sure he saw fleshly good-looking women, perhaps. He didn't wait. The lust was Satan's trap, and he came to the wrong end. Failed mission. Caused a lot of pain, a lot of mockery, and a lot of people let down. I want to say to you, and parents, you know this, Satan's line is running free today. He's running free all over the TV. He's running free all over the cell phones. He's running free in the crowds. We got kids now with more carnal knowledge at 10 years old than in the old days they had at 30. It is an amazing age we've moved in, and Satan's line is out there trying to devour everyone he can, and you and I, like Samson, we're the guard. Don't let your guard down. Don't fail. I see Samson nagging at his parents, and I know how some of you parents have to put up with that. But you ought to stand up and say, this is the right way, this is the Lord's way, this is the Bible way, this is the way we're going to go. Because there's a lot at stake. A lot at stake. Satan's line is running free, no doubt about it. I'm doing my best to protect others from him, tell the truth, reveal him, not let him deceive. But the truth is, it's looking like a dark day today. And you and I better be on guard. He's roaring, seeking who he may devour. And our job is raise the family right in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our job as a church is to tell everybody we can that Jesus loved them and died for them, paid for their sins. And I want to say, if you're going to lead your family right, you first got to know Christ yourself personally. Amen. Do you know him personally? You're not going to say to kids, well, live for the Lord, when they see you don't even know him, or ashamed to confess him, or ashamed to come to his house and be identified with him. I pray we'd wake up to that. God is going to hold us responsible. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know if you died today you'd go to heaven because he's your Savior? But more than that, are you living for him? You can't get your kids to live for him if you're not living for him. It's your responsibility. I know of a horror story. You know, I think the young lady's still alive that tells it. She was born in Africa, born in those villages where lions are a real threat, where they won't go from one straw hut to another at night after dark because they're under threat of an attack of a lion. Like a lot of stupid governments, they're not even allowed to have a gun for protection. If an animal comes in and kills a man, then they have to contact the government, and the government sends out the guards or out the game wardens with a gun, and they can finally hunt the beast down, maybe and maybe not, but that's the system they live under. That's what they'd like to do to you and I in America, by the way, too. But this young girl, born in a family, living in a straw hut like that. They'd build the straw hut up, strengthen the walls every way they could with the natural material of the jungle. And often they'd hear the lions outside. Often they'd hear the beast outside. And most of them hunt and feed at night. So they'd build the walls as strong as they could. But on this particular night, this big lion, she said she heard the roar, and all of a sudden the lion jumped over the walls of the straw hut, landed on the straw roof, crashed down into the room below where the little girl slept in the corner undercover, and mom and dad on the other side of the little room. And the lion grabbed the mother first. But while he was killing her, the husband tried his best to fight him off, but they both wound up killed by the lion. And the little girl had to watch all that horror and all the screaming and all that. And then the lion, I forget which one, he picked up in his mouth and jumped back over the wall. I thought about that. The devil finds a way to get around our walls. He comes in sometime from the top down. The only thing I can say is that husband probably had time to run out the door and run, but he didn't. He fought for his family. And yes, it cost him his life, but he gave it all to protect them. The little girl lives to tell the story. I think about it today, just as real as that horrible night was, just as real as that lion was, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to jump in the middle of your house. He's going to jump in the middle of my house if he can. And I ask you, how fortified are we? Do we have God's word as a shield, as a weapon? I wonder tonight, this morning, how well protected your house is. There's a time a lion needs killing, and we better fight against the roaring lion of the devil with everything we've got in this day and time. I challenge you this morning to begin by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the good lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Know him, and he's the only one that can defeat Satan's lion, who's after everyone. Do you know the Lord Jesus? This morning you could know him if you'd leave that seat, come down the aisle, and receive him as Savior. Trust him, what he did for you on the cross. Yes, he did defeat the devil on your behalf, and he's the only one you're going to defeat the devil through is through the Lord himself. I pray you know him. I pray you do. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know the Lord Jesus. He's my Savior. I know if I died today, heaven would be my home because of him. Can you say that by the uplifting hand? So many. Now don't lie. If you can't lift your hand, don't lift it. You know, you really do know whether you know him in your heart or not, that he's your Savior. I pray you do. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. We ask your blessing on the invitation. Lord, we know there's a roaring lion circling the very place where we live. Help us, Lord, to be on guard against him through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for moms and dads. I pray for young people that need to listen to parents that are listening to you. I ask that even this moment, if there's a mom, dad, boy, or girl here without Jesus, they don't know him as Savior. Help them to see the danger they're in and reject the devil and come to the Lord Jesus. Bless an invitation, I pray. Somebody you may be speaking to about baptism or joining the church or something else, but